Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, folks, and welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Such an honor to connect with you today. Hope you're having a great day. Of course, the phone number to call in is 866-357-3283. If you're new to this show and you're wondering, why would we be calling in? Folks, this is a show where we talk about your life and your money. Call in and ask what the Bible says about money and what the Bible says about relationships and how we steward this life God's way and for His glory. The whole point of this show is to talk through stewardship. We are blessed. We are entrusted to manage the Creator stuff, and that should just blow your mind. Pretty cool. Now, I love connecting with you folks on Instagram and on Twitter and on Facebook, and I noticed just scrolling through Instagram just a minute ago, I see here the Alan Turner in Pensacola said, Kelly and I start Financial Peace University Tuesday in Pensacola. So that's pretty cool. And then I noticed on Twitter that Ryan, let's see if I can say this right, Gagliardi said that he and Sherry, his wife, are set to host their fourth Financial Peace University on February 13th. Pretty cool, Ryan. So, folks, you can connect on social media at Chris Brown On Air on Facebook, on Instagram, and on Twitter. Again, that phone number is 866-357-3283. And here we are, tax season. I want to encourage you to get in touch with one of our endorsed local providers, our ELPs. They are just amazing tax professionals that we stand behind, that we endorse, that we definitely recommend. And you can find out more about that at stewardship.com. Of course, everything about this show lives at stewardship.com. So any questions, that's a great place to go. And if you want to email in, you can at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Our first call comes in from Scottsdale, Arizona. This is Sam. Sam, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Chris. How are you today?
Oh, I'm better every day. How can I help you?
Well, I have a question concerning term life insurance. Here's my situation. I know how you and Dave feel about whole life, so I've not gotten into that. I've always been a proponent of term life insurance. My problem is I'm a 68-year-old male, so to be 69, and I'm in the second year of a 10-year policy. My concern is right now my premiums are running about a little over $2,200 a year. And in the year after my 10-year policy, they jumped to somewhere between $6,900 and $45,000 a month to the insurance company that I have at this point. And there's no way I can afford that. So I'm not planning on passing in the next 10 years. And my concern is what's out there for me as far as life insurance and a term policy that I can afford after this policy expires.
Yeah, folks, Sam had mentioned there for a second that, that we don't stand behind whole life. And the main reason for that is that insurance is insurance and investing is investing. And whole life insurance is kind of like this investment instrument / insurance instrument that we'd rather you pay half the premiums and invest the difference. You can get term insurance way cheaper. And with the money savings, we want you to invest that money. So that's what Sam is referring to there. Now, Sam, was anyone relying on your income at this point?
No. My children are grown, and it's just my wife and myself. And, I just want to make sure she's protected in case something happens to me.
Right. Do you have any investments?
I have my IRAs and my pension, and our house is paid off, so we're in good standing there. I think she's going to be pretty well cared for. Should I pass?
Yeah, the main reason for life insurance is to replace earned income in the event that you're no longer here. And so if nobody is depending on your monthly income now, I don't see that you'll need to renew. So going up to that $6,900 to $45,000, is not going to be needed. I don't think you need to renew. And I think you need to actually even think through, maybe do you even need it now? Yeah, if someone's not relying on your income, that's really what it does. That's why we say you want to, you know, have 10 to 12 times your, annual income, is because we want to make sure that they're taken care of, and that income is being replaced. So that's really the heartbeat behind it. It's not really an investment. It's more just replacing your income in the event that you're gone.
I understand. So as a younger person, this was a good investment. Now that I'm getting up there and she's pretty well taken care of, then it's not so important.
Exactly. You've done a great job and you've put her in a good spot, and you should be, you know, proud of that. Done a good job. So maybe sit down and look through the numbers and see if you even need to have it anymore.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
All right. Thanks, Sam. Well, folks, Proverbs 13:22, just a reminder to us, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. And obviously, Sam is doing a good job at whenever he happens to graduate to heaven, that those who are still here will be in a good spot. And way to go, Sam. Very cool. Our next call comes in from Charlotte, North Carolina, my hometown. This is Chris. Chris, how are you?
Hi, Chris. I'm Chris. Very nice to meet you.
Yeah, nice to meet you, too.
Big fan of the show.
Yeah, well, good. How can I help you?
Well, I've got a situation. I've got a 798 credit score, just to give you a little bit about myself. I've got a $200,000 house that's paid for. I got about $200,000 in savings. My cars are paid for, and I got about $100,000 in my emergency fund.
Wow.
So, and I make about $60,000 a year. After having a much higher paying job, I took a lesser paying job.
I was going to say, you had to be making some good coin at some point.
Oh, I was 80 hours a week, Chris. I was really just stuffing the mattress, and I said, you know what? So now I basically have always lived below my means. I live on $1,500 a month, even when I was making $30,000 years ago. So I had a great teacher, and a lot of it's you and Dave Ramsey, so I'll tell you.
Oh, good.
But I'm going to be, I proposed to somebody who makes the same amount, earnings per year. However, they have $170,000 debt or mortgage, which just went into short sale an hour ago. So I'm not really sure where that puts me, but they've got a 540 credit score, and they've got student loans for $17,000, $30,000 vehicle. Overall, it breaks down to they're bringing about $2,000 a month home, yet with all their expenses minus the mortgage, they're spending like $1,000. They have $1,000 to live on. Mm. So the house went into short sale because after a previous marriage, they were just stuck with the house. So it just kind of, I'm not sure where that would stand. If I went ahead and got married, how would a 540 credit score, which after a short sale is probably going to be like a 440, how does that affect my ability in the future? Would you wait till this whole fiasco with the short sale is over with? I know it's a compound question.
Yeah.
Would you wait to get married till after that? Because would I absorb any responsibility?
It's a very good question, and of course, it does have compound dynamics on it. I think a couple things come to mind. One, I would make sure that your financial philosophies line up a little bit more, much closer before tying the knot, for sure. And so, the way you do that is with some education. Maybe go to some events, read some books together. You want to make sure that you know, you're doing that. Make sure you're on the same page first. So it's not necessarily about the credit score. It's not even really about the amount of debt. It's more of making sure you're on the same page before you get married. That would be the first thing. Secondly, I wouldn't worry about credit score. Of course, I applaud the fact that you've, 798 means you've been, if you had that philosophy of having a high credit score, you've been effective. I'm more for having no credit score. Which would mean that you just don't have any debt at all. And so you don't even register because you pay for everything proactively. I wouldn't worry. So if it brings you down to a 440, you're in such a great financial position. I would never borrow again. So who cares about your credit score? So I wouldn't worry about that. I would more worry about the philosophy that you're on the same page, because, you know, one day it's going to come 2 years from now, and it's going to be a moment to make a purchase, and you're going to be on two different islands completely, and it's going to create a ton of tension. So I'll just take care of that on the front end. So that'd be about it. But yeah, the idea is when you get married, you absorb all their debt as well.
So the philosophy over the past year has been very sound, and I think they're on the same page. So,
oh, good,
that's
good.
Why I wanted to make sure. But I didn't know about this, should I say get rid of a vehicle, get rid of this, live poor, or should I just say, you know, bite the bullet and say what's yours is yours, what's mine is mine, or rather merge. That was the correct word I was looking for.
Yeah, but I would just make sure that, you know, a union's a union. So you guys are all, you know, you're all one or you're not. So, you know, but I would just make sure that the philosophies are on the same page before you get started.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
So no matter what, even if their name's on a loan, it doesn't affect me once you're married.
Right. Well, right now, I did all of my investments in 2008 when I overinvest in the real estate. It's part of my story. Overinvest in the real estate market and really hit me hard. I ended up having to declare bankruptcy and all the way in January of 11 when it all kind of cleaned up and my wife's credit score was never touched.
Wow.
Chris, we really appreciate the call and great questions and wishing the best for you.
Hey, I can't thank you enough and have a wonderful day. And again, I'm a big fan of your show.
All right. Thank you very much. Bye-bye. Well, again, you can call in at 866-357-3283. Great questions coming in from Chris. I got an email here from Rosemary. She says, hello, Chris. We currently have our 3 months of expenses in a savings account. I've heard Dave Ramsey mention putting it in a money market account. Until recently, I thought it was the same thing. Please clarify what a money market account is. I listen to your show every day. It's great, and it teaches me so much. I share a lot of information with friends and family who follow or are aware of the financial piece. Have a blessed day. Great question. And folks, you might hear us reference Dave Ramsey often, and maybe you're not familiar with Dave Ramsey. He is my mentor. He is the owner of Ramsey Solutions, and he has been probably the most respected voice in the financial realm over the last 20 years. And he also is has the Dave Ramsey Show, which is absolutely incredible. And it's on 560 stations around the country, third biggest talk show in America, and also has a podcast as well. So if you happen to be one of the people that don't know who Dave Ramsey is, that's who Dave Ramsey is. And we mention him a lot because he is a lot of the inspiration behind this show and the leadership behind the show. The money market account is very similar, very, very similar to a savings account. The only difference, because your money is just as liquid in both accounts, and usually they're at a traditional bank, in your area. And the money market account just allows you to get a little bit more return on your money, a very, very little. But there used to be the day when I first got my first money market account where the return was like 2% in a savings account and 3% in a money market account. Those days are gone. Now it's just horrible in each. And those of you who have money in a money market account or a savings account, I would just tell you, you don't worry about the interest. That's not why the money's in there. The money's in there as insurance. You're being self-insured in case an emergency happens. You've got liquid cash available, and you're probably only going to get 75 cents a year in interest. Don't worry about it. That's not why it's in there. But good question from Rosemary. Now, folks, did you sell or purchase a home in 2015? Have you tithed or made charitable contributions this year? If your answer is yes to either of those questions, then you should seriously consider seeking a professional for assistance, itemizing the deductions on your tax return to avoid overpaying the government. Last year, 61% of homeowners missed deductions for mortgage interest, for real estate taxes, and for local income taxes. And charitable contributions accounted for another 27% of missed deductions for taxpayers. Folks, we're talking about an average savings of $800 a year on your taxes. And even if you can't find your receipts, like most Americans, there are still ways to show deduction eligibility. So if you want to ensure you maximize your refund this year, we have just the people to help. It's our endorsed local providers. You heard me mention them at the start of the show. But we call them ELPs for short. And this is a nationwide service that helps you find local experts that you can trust. I've used them for things for our family, and they are absolutely incredible. So let us connect you with a trusted tax advisor in your area to discuss all your deduction options. Don't put off getting your money back. Go to stewardship.com and click Find an ELP to schedule an appointment with a local tax expert that you can trust.
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. If you have a question for Chris, email him at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or call him at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. Now we continue with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
Next on the line, it looks like Lauren is calling in from San Diego, California. Lauren, how are you?
Hi, good, Chris. How are you?
I'm better every day. How can I serve you?
Well, thank you for featuring my complex question. My husband and I are on Dave Ramsey's Baby Step 3A-3B, and we are considering whether we can buy a house early next year. There are two major factors that I'm calling in to get your opinion on. The first one is our American Express allows us to see our credit score, at least Tim's credit score, my husband, and to our surprise, it was very low. And I'm wondering if this credit score is reflecting the two short sales, like you were talking before to your one of the other callers about short sailing in 2008 and whatnot. I short sold in 2009. Right after we got married, I had a renter, and then we actually short sold his home in 2011. And I'm wondering if the score is reflecting that. We obviously need help improving the score, but we have absolutely no idea how. And we're not sure if there's a difference between consumer credit scores and the score a mortgage underwriter would have. That's kind of the first part, and then there's a second part to it. I don't know if you want to hear that now or later.
Yeah, okay, go ahead. Pour it on.
Well, we live in a high-priced market. We're in Southern California, in between L.A. and San Diego. We have four small kids, and we have an open heart toward having more. So for the size of home that we're looking about in our market, it'd be $480,000 to $580,000. And although we have some money in savings, it's definitely not $90,000 just sitting around for a down payment. If we were to do it Dave Ramsey's way, right now, currently, we couldn't even rent an apartment for his gross mortgage income housing expense. We're wondering how we can ever afford to buy in our hometown where my husband works and we have lots of family. We can't move somewhere to a lower price market. We currently rent at what would be considered a steal at $1,885, and that puts us at a 31% housing expense.
Wow.
What do you think?
I've heard these kind of stories from, you know, New York City, you know, Manhattan area, and obviously California. You definitely have a challenge that a lot of folks don't have. So I definitely understand that and empathize with that. You get the beautiful weather, that's for sure, but you got to pay for it. That sun's not free.
Yeah.
Well, let me tackle some of this. First of all, the difference between credit scores, depending on who's reporting it and who's, providing the number, it's probably very little. The general number that you're getting is probably pretty darn accurate. I'm not sure what your financial position is as far as your savings versus investments versus your amount of debt, all this, your consumer debt and all those kind of things. But if you feel like you're in a much better financial position currently than your credit score is representing of you, then I would recommend you finding a mortgage company that does manual underwriting. So you're not put into a formula and it just spits out whether you're approved or not. It's somebody who will actually sit down and look at the risk assessment of providing you with money. There are companies that do that. I know that's shocking to everybody. One of them that we know of is called Churchill Mortgage. They are friends of ours, and we feel very comfortable suggesting that people go and talk to them. They do manual underwriting, and if they're in a season where they can't, they know folks who can. So that's what I would do. I would look at your options there. I don't recommend you getting into a house for anything less than 20% down ever. So I'd want you to have 20% down. Of course, we do want you to be below that 25%. So if you're going to be below that 25%, and folks, what I'm referring to is that the monthly house payment with a principal payment, with interest payment, with taxes and insurance should be below 25% of your household income, your take home pay. And to make that happen, what's going to happen, Lauren, is you're going to either A, have to have less house, which stinks, I know, but you get the sun and we don't. And or B is going to be further out. So you're going to have to be a little bit further out from the perfect access to the highways and the maybe the ideal perfect schools, those kind of things. You're going to have to make some sacrifices somewhere. But if you're looking for me to say it's okay to go 35%, I just don't feel comfortable doing that. I really want you to be at the 25% mark, and you're going to have to sacrifice somewhere else. So, and then I think your other question was how to get your credit score up. Unfortunately, a credit score, what it means is how well you play kissy face with the bank, how well you borrow, how much you borrow, how much interest you pay. And the more you do of that, it makes you have a higher credit score, which I can't stand. So I would rather you increase your financial net worth, increase your financial position. Those things improve regardless of your credit score. I wouldn't focus on the credit score, but I'd focus more on your financial position. And when you walk in there one day and you throw 50% down on the table, it's going to talk, or 75% on the table, or whatever it may be. But yeah, every place where you live, it's got pros and cons. In San Diego, it happens to be housing. So, you know, I hate that. But is it even possible for you to live a little further out or have some less house?
Well, let me just clarify. I'm sorry. We actually live in a place called Temecula, which is in Riverside County, right on the border between Riverside and San Diego County. So we're actually in one of the most affordable areas within our particular region.
Mm-hmm.
This another thing too is we have no debt, and we're also saving $1,666 a month. We saved $20,000 last year. We have $10,000 saved for our MediShare, and we have another $20,000 that we're planning on saving this year. So what I'm hearing you say is, in order for us to meet those Ramsey requirements of the 25% and the 20%, we would need to look at purchasing in about 5 years.
Yeah, and that's fine. That would
so
be fun.
So you would suggest we rent for 5 years?
Yeah, I mean, I would rather you rent around two and get more aggressive with your income and try to take second jobs and third jobs or whatever you got to do. Or the fact that you're in such a good position and you just know it's a very calculated decision. You're obviously very good with money. And if it's a very calculated decision, because we don't have any payments in all these different other areas, and we just know that we're going to be above the recommended 25 for a season because we live in California, but we don't have any car payments. We don't have this. We don't have this. All these are way under the recommended percentages for food, all the below the recommendations for auto, for recreation, for vacation. All those are so below that we just know that we've shifted it over to the home for a season. But you're going to have to sacrifice somewhere else if you know you're over in other areas.
Yeah, I'm just trying to find, and I appreciate that. I'm just trying to find, because we homeschool. Our kids are 6, 5, 3, and 7 months.
Mm-hmm.
So taking a second job is, you know, my husband's a firefighter. I'm just not sure, like, where else we can really scrimp up and save. But even with us renting, like I said, in this market in California, $1,885 for a 2,000 square foot home is a steal. We're living, you know, in Riverside County, which, as you know, was one of the most bankrupt in the foreclosure. That's the biggest area because it's kind of affordable housing. It's where people go out of Orange County and out of San Diego County to find affordable housing. So,
right. Yeah, no, I totally.
I do hear what you're saying. It's just a hard pill to swallow.
Yeah, it is. And one of the things was, one of the recommendations was more income, but a separate, it could be and or thing. It could be and. You do those percentage shifts that I was telling you about, or it could be separate. So maybe you don't do the extra income. However, you do reorganize your budget, and you know that you're way under in some other things, and so you just know you're going to be at 35% for a season, but you're so far under in the other things. Mm-hmm. For instance, school activity costs, you're not going to have those as much because you're homeschooling. Mm-hmm. So some things are going to be less. Maybe not eating out as often. And so, you know, you're at $500 a month in food instead of 900. I don't know what it is, but you can shrink some other things just because you know you're going to be over for a season because of the way you live and because of the dynamics of your geographic region.
Okay.
And California and New York City and those kind of places, they definitely have those dynamics where you got to get creative.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much for the call. As I mentioned earlier in the show, our ELPs, our endorsed local providers, are ready to help you with your taxes. So don't delay in going to stewardship.com and clicking on Find an ELP to get your help today. If you didn't get the chance to call in, you can email us at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com at any time. And you can call in at any time. Leave a voicemail. We'll call you back. But again, the email address is chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Folks, it has been a pleasure. And until next time, let's continue to manage God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory.